Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with MLB insider John Heyman and former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr.
Back at it again with another episode of Big Time Baseball. I guess we'll call this the Hall of Fame edition. And alongside myself is my partner, John Heyman. John, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you doing? Very exciting day. We're looking forward to the results on Tuesday. We're doing this on Monday.
Big announcement tomorrow. Well, at least I'm sure there are a lot of Hall of Fame hopefuls that hope there's big news tomorrow. Don't know who's going in other than Fred McGriff at this point. But this is an interesting ballot, right? I'll just list the guys that have actually received a percentage of votes. There's a ton of guys on this, but Rolland, Helton, Wagner, Andrew Jones, Gary Sheffield, Alex Rodriguez, Jeff Kent, Manny Ramirez, Omar Vizcaino, Andy Pettit, Jimmy Rollins, Bobby Abreu, Mark Burley, and Torii Hunter. You do have some newcomers on the list. Carlos Beltran is on that list. John, first, let's start with this. How many guys, or does anybody get on this ballot aside from Fred McGriff, do you think, this year?
Well, it looks like we have numbers through, I don't know, it's half the votes counted or what. Ryan Thibodeau does a good job tabulating, and it looks like Rolland and Helton have a chance. They're right now polling above the 75% threshold, but of course the public ballots are usually more favorable, so they're going to be right on the borderline. So one or two of those could get in, or nobody, which is possible. And it's a ballot, I think, with a lot of possibles, no definites. The two guys who are really clearly Hall of Famers on their achievements, their accomplishments, are Alex Rodriguez and Manny Ramirez, both linked to steroids. And they have a number of other guys, like 14, 15 other guys who are, right on that borderline. Not that that's a negative, because if you're in the top 1 or 2%, you're an incredible baseball player. But the other guys, you can make a case for about 14, 15 guys, or you can make a case against. So no guarantees. No Ken Griffey on this ballot. No Cal Ripken. No Tony Gwynn Sr.
No, there isn't. I think Gary Sheffield's a guy that has some unbelievable numbers that should be getting some votes. Will he? I don't know, but let's focus on those two that you were talking about that have a chance: Scott Rolen and Todd Helton. Now, I actually heard this the other day. I think Harold Reynolds. I was here. Heard I was listening to on the MLB network, and he mentioned the fact that he had had a conversation with my dad about Todd Helton definitely being a Hall of Famer. Now, I don't recall the same conversation with him, but I would say that he certainly is deserving. And I think possibly Larry Walker getting in and going in as a Rocky or a guy who put up a ton of numbers in as a Rocky at the very least, I think opens the door for Todd Helton. I think he should have – he'll have a legitimate chance, and I think he's deserving, quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, I was very close with him, to him, voting for him, and I ultimately did not. I voted for four guys. I voted for Kent, Rolen, Andrew Jones, and Jimmy Rollins. You know, I look at the total picture, offense and defense, so I probably favor guys who are great defensively more than some others. So to me, Andrew Jones and Rolen and Rollins fit in that category. You know, Rollins, I can see he's not going to make it. But, you know, I'd like to see him continue on the ballot. I think he had great impact. I go by impact more than stats. I never have quite gotten there for the Coors Field guys. I do get it. Incredible percentages. You know, if you look at his on base, his slugging, his batting average, clearly a Hall of Famer. To me, I still look at Coors and, you know, if you don't have huge numbers overall, I still haven't quite gotten there, but I do think he will get in. If he doesn't get in this year, he will get in next year. So I think the majority of people do agree with you on Helton. So many guys just so close. Helton, Wagner was close for me.
Yeah.
You know, Pettit. You know, you can make a case for K-Rod, Vizquel, Beltran. To me, Beltran has it on the numbers. I held him out for 1 year. I've never done this before, but for the Houston issue. So I think next year I will probably end up voting for him. Someone could say that's not fair, but
so you gave him a 1 year penalty.
I did give him. I figured he wouldn't make it the first year. And I did. I'm more about the integrity of the game than something off the field. You know, I don't, okay. If someone does something bad off the field, you know, unless it's really heinous and nobody's really risen to that category for me. I mean, you know, we don't have O.J. Simpson on the ballot or something like that. You know, to me, it's about the game and the integrity of the game. And, you know, the steroid guys generally I've not voted for. And that's, again, why I don't vote for Sheffield. He does have the numbers. He's in that category of guys who have the numbers. But to me, linked to steroids, you know, I didn't vote for Ortiz. What did he get, 81% of the vote? I didn't vote for him. You know, I think Sheffield, Sosa, and Ortiz are all in the same category. Yet, weirdly, Ortiz got 81%. Sosa gets almost nothing, and Sheffield will be in between. To me, it seems to be about public relations, which I can see voting for any of them, really. I get it if someone wants to discount and not worry about the steroids. I get it. So I understand that, but I don't understand the dichotomy there, why Ortiz is worth 81%. And Sosa, almost nothing, and Sheffield in between. To me, they're all in the same category. To me, they're all Hall of Famers based on what they did. And, you know, if you want to vote for a steroid guy, go right ahead. I get it. And it's, it's a smaller link than, let's say, Ramirez or A-Rod, right?
It's
a smaller link. But he was in the Mitchell Report. He was in Balco. To me, that's enough to not vote for him. But he is trending. It's the funny thing is the way guys are trending. Like Vizquel started with 50%. He's worked his way down to 10%. Then you have a lot of guys like Wagner who started with 10% and they're working their way up to 50%. I have changed my mind on guys, but not to that degree where it's half the electorate is changing on guys. I do think is probably, even though Ryan Thibodeau does a great job, is too much out there publicly and too many people are influenced by what others are saying on the internet. They should just go by their own feel, and then we'd have 400 people voting and it would be a fair election. Here you've got guys who don't want to be ripped on the internet voting for guys, and it's got to be that, because to go from, we've had several guys go from 10 or 15% all the way up to 80%. Don't get it.
I'm willing to give some of that to people who maybe are just seeing things differently now than they may have in the past, but not all of it. I mean, those are huge. Those are huge gains and losses,
right?
That are really unexplainable.
Right. It may be justified, though, because look, I mean, look at Bert Blyleven. I never was convinced, because I really don't care what anyone says on the internet. So I've noticed.
I don't
care. Yeah. So I wasn't swayed. I never voted for him. I think he was on 14 times. And now I look at it and I can understand why people voted for him for all things. It might have taken me 20 years. And so I get why people change. But in that case, there was a big internet outcry. And this has been the case, I think, with Wagner and some of the other guys. And a good case can be made for Wagner. He's one of the greatest closers. There's no question about that. But to me, let me ask you a question. You're a team. You've got the first year. You've got a rookie, Billy Wagner, and you've got a rookie, Jimmy Rollins. You have to trade one of them, and you get the same thing back for either one of them. Who would you like to hold on to?
Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah. To me, the answer is clearly Jimmy Rollins.
Yeah.
He had the greater impact. He was a winner.
That could be based clearly off of the positions they play. I mean, granted, a closer's gonna come in, he's gonna have an impact in Billy Wagner's case, somewhere 45 and 60 games, right? But Jimmy Rollins can have that impact on a nightly basis and has more games to actually be able to do it. So from that standpoint alone, I would say the same thing. But then when you put together what they actually did in their careers, I think that's pretty evident.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Rollins had the greater impact. I'm not knocking Billy Wagner. I could certainly see people voting for him. And
absolutely.
I get why people are up to 50%. But there's a reason why these closers – even the best ones have a war of 25 or 30, whereas, and to me, Rollins was underrated in terms of his defense.
At least. Yes.
So I don't think the defensive metrics do him justice, but, you know, he's got a war of around 48, you know, so he certainly contributed more based on that number, which is the one overall number. So, you know, and I don't want to pick on Wagner versus Rollins, but I would say the same thing for any reliever versus, let's say, a Burley or a Pettit. And I haven't voted for Burley or Pettit, but you have the first year of Andy Pettit or Billy Wagner, and you get to keep them for their whole career. Who would you hang on to? Andy Pettit was incredible impact. And of course, being on the Yankees did help, but won a lot of games, pitched a lot of innings. So, you know, I'm not quite there on the relievers. I eventually did vote for Hoffman. I did see it. You know, he had bigger bulk numbers. It's similar type stats on percentages, but bigger bulk numbers than Wagner. And I don't like to make a case against anyone. And I get it, because Wagner had that great strikeout percentage and he was incredible when he was on the mound. But everybody looks at it differently. But I wish people weren't so influenced by what they read on the internet.
Yeah, I remember when Billy Wagner retired, and I remember thinking to myself, this guy's a Hall of Famer. And so I'm going to stick with that. And, you know, it's different. I don't get a vote ultimately, so it doesn't really matter what I think. But
it does. It matters to me.
When you're talking about Hall of Famers, it could get complicated when you are then trying to compare them to other guys at different positions. That's when it becomes complicated. Now, I understand there's an element of that you have to do because you're giving, you know, your votes on that. But, you know, in his case, I personally think he's a Hall of Famer.
Well, a lot of people look at it like, who is the best at their position? But to me, it's a diminished position if you're throwing one inning versus, in those days, six or seven innings. You know, or Mark Burley, he was just consistent. He wasn't spectacular. He didn't throw that hard, but he was amazingly consistent and ultimately, in the way I look at it, more productive than all the closers. obviously, Mariano Rivera is a separate case. The impact that he had, he's the greatest closer of all time. But I still have a hard time, and I'm not alone, but I do think I'm probably in the minority in saying tough to get there for me for the relief pitcher. And there's a reason someone's a relief pitcher instead of a starter. Starters have a greater repertoire and, you know, more durability. And but I still didn't vote for Burley or Pettit. So, you know, it's one of those ballots where there's no obvious clear-cut guy. And well, how would you go on A-Rod and Manny? Because, you know, what they did on the field, I mean, they're clearly Hall of Famers. But, you know, where do you draw the line?
I mean, listen, both of those guys had ability that before they got caught up in the steroid issue, they were going to be Hall of Famers. Now, unfortunately for them, listen, no matter how I feel about this particular situation, there are consequences to actions that these guys have taken. And unfortunately, those consequences may be that they don't get in the Hall of Fame because of it. But there's no doubt A-Rod and Manny specifically, who I got to share a field with, these dudes were incredible baseball players. And had they not done anything, had they not, and in A-Rod's case, I think he's admitted to this, that his actions after getting caught are probably the most egregious part of it all. And it's probably what ends up costing him getting into the Hall of Fame. I just think, you know, those are the consequences. I think they're Hall of Famers, though.
Right. Well, I mean, certainly these guys ended up, by doing the steroids, I think almost all of them ended up making more money, winning more awards in some cases. They already got a lot of positives out of it. So there are consequences, as you said. I mean, clearly both guys had the talent to be Hall of Famers without the steroids. I agree with you. I would say A-Rod's case, he wasn't a Hall of Famer before he took steroids because it was in Texas.
That's true.
Where
that's
he got
true.
Caught
that's true.
In the loosey-goosey. You remember that quote? It was the loosey-goosey times.
I forgot about that.
He didn't have 10 years in at that point. So he didn't do it before. That's why I make that one exception, Barry Bonds, because to me, he was a Hall of Famer.
He was already Hall of Famer.
He was
right.
Already in. I mean, he was already the best player in the game, and then he became Babe Ruth when he started doing the steroids. And so I didn't vote for him initially because I really think it's a real no-no to do steroids. And I eventually did vote for him because I ultimately consider every case, and what you said is absolutely right. Before, he was a home run before he started considering it, and it was certainly in an earlier era, and he's never been caught. Now, A-Rod, it was
he's smack dab
before.
In the middle of it.
Yeah, he was in the middle of it. He got suspended. He got suspended again. He only has himself to blame. And I like the guy. He was on another podcast that I do. He was great with us. And that one thing that Jimmy Rollins was on our podcast in the New York Post last week, and he was fabulous. And of course, I did vote for him, but. One thing he thought, and I think a lot of the guys who are on the ballot think this, that the voters are influenced by whether they like the guy, whether they gave him a good interview. And I think there probably are a couple like that. But
there's no doubt.
I know the players think that, but I can tell you from my perspective, and nothing against Jeff Kent, you know, for whatever reason, I didn't get along with him at all. I vote for him. Of all the guys on the ballot, the one guy I was really friendly with was Andy Pettit. I don't vote for him. So I'm not influenced by it. Somebody might be.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know what the number is or how many, but I would say that my guess would be you're not the majority. John.
Well, let me say this. Jim Rice, who was not good with the media, although he's in the media. You know, so many guys, I'm sure you were great with the media, although I don't recall dealing with you as a player, but how many guys are in the media who are so terrible with the media? Jim Rice is a guy like that, and he got in. Right.
How long, though, did it take for him to get
well,
in?
Well, but he's borderline. I think he's a borderline case because he was a one-dimensional player, right? If you compare him to Albert Bell, now someone's going to say Albert Bell's not in because people didn't like him, and there might be some effect. I don't vote for him because he didn't have a long enough career, but Steve Carlton, I mean, this is before my time even for the most part, notoriously terrible with the media. He got almost every single vote. You know, there are other guys like
there. Here, I'll give you my perspective on it. Having heard folks like my dad and his peers talk about this before, I think there's maybe have been a shift in the media and how long we hold on to things. It seems like there's been a little bit of shift, but I know at that time there were certainly a lot of people that felt like it, and it's apparently it still is the case today that feel like there are certain media members that do hold that as part of it. Maybe not all, maybe the number's not big, but the numbers don't have to be big when we're talking about a Hall of Fame vote. You know what I'm saying? It can only take a few that can skew that.
Well, I attribute some of that to just bad voting. But, you know, if you look at it, you know, I mean, you know, there are guys now who only miss out by one vote or three votes or whatever. Presumably they had run-ins with somebody and you know, nobody's holding it against them except that, I guess, one person didn't vote for Jeter. I don't know. There were three people, I think, didn't vote for Griffey. I think those are just bad voters. I don't think it was anything personal. Like
just bad voters.
No, it's only a couple. It's only a few. You know, we're talking about less than 1%. But
right.
Rice, as I said, got in. And I think he got a fair number of votes. I don't think it was held against him. I think he was a great slugger. Didn't have a huge home run total. But he was a great slugger. And he should be in. And he got in. And, you know, like I said, Carlton, not good with the media, and got almost every single vote. So I don't think that's the case. You know, maybe in an extreme example like Albert Bell, it might affect him a little bit, you know, where he was really terrible with everybody.
I agree with you. I agree with you on Jimmy as well. I mean, I'm a little biased, and I'm pretty close to him, but his impact was on that level as well.
Yeah, I think he's being unfairly overlooked. I don't get it. I mean, to me, it's called the Hall of Fame. It's about impact. It's about fame. It shouldn't be about all stats. And I mean, he's got more hits than anybody else in Philly's history, so that's a pretty good stat. You know, to me, he was a winner, and that should be in there. You know, not to pick on anybody, but Abreu has better stats, and he's now trending better than Rollins.
Abreu's another one. I mean,
he's a Hall of Famer. I'm nothing against. He's certainly in the top 2%. We're talking about all borderline guys. I don't see it, you know, based on war or percentages I don't think anybody thought he was a Hall of Famer when he was playing. You know, his impact was good, but it's not like Jimmy Rollins. It's not like Andrew Jones. It's not like Carlos Beltran. You know, it's not like even Billy Wagner, any of these guys. I don't get it. And I feel bad talking against somebody, but I think that's, again, one of those internet things where someone's looking at the stats and they've come up with some great stat that shows why they're a Hall of Famer. And oh, yeah, that's great. It's a great stat. It's not all the stats.
No, it's not. It's hard to define it, right? But it certainly is a 10-year span or that particular decade. Were you the guy? Were you amongst the best during that 10-year span? That's at least what my opinion is on what it should be. So
I think that's fair.
You know, we'll have to.
I like it. That's a good way to define it.
Yeah. No. Eventually, we'll get the answers on this. Actually, tomorrow we'll get the answers on this.
We will. And I think, by and large, the voters have done pretty well. I like the fact they have the Veterans Committee that cleans it up. I did think Trammell and Morris ultimately, while borderline, I did ultimately vote for them at the end. And I'm glad that the Veterans Committee put them in. They've overshot on one or two cases, in my opinion, but not terribly. You know, I mean, there was so much brouhaha about Harold Baines getting it. Harold Baines was a great player. You know, I think that's another internet thing where people are saying, how could this guy be a whole? I mean, what do you have, 2,700 hits? It's pretty good. You know, he's a pretty good player. Pretty good. So it didn't offend me. I think the Veterans Committee generally does a good job. Sometimes it gets a little too, when you have 15 people, to me, that gets a little too personal. You know, you get a guy stumping for somebody and convincing a few others in the room and they can get in. That to me, more about personality than the full electorate.
I can already hear it. Both of us saying pretty good. Well, it's not the pretty good of fame. So it's 2,700 hits is excellent. It's beyond pretty good.
It's beyond pretty good. And I get it. I didn't vote for Harold Baines, but I mean, to have the outcry that people had, it was beyond what it should have been. I mean, he had a great career.
Well, the debate will come to an end. Well, at least this year, it will come to an end tomorrow. We'll find out who's getting in, who's not getting in. So that'll do it for this Big Time Baseball episode. You can catch us anywhere you can find your podcast. You can also catch us on the Odyssey app. Until next week, for Tony Gwynn Jr., for John Heyman, have a good one.
Oh, it's such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.